We'll talk about the upcoming college football season and the realignment of Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC, and will there be more movement? Tom Luganville is one of the best in the business in breaking down college football. He joins us here on the Huge Show across Michigan. How you doing, my friend?
Good, Huge. It's good to talk to you, man.
Hey, you know, when you look at this upcoming season, we get past the pandemic year, and this could be another season with the pandemic connected to it, but just from a pure football standpoint, what would you say are the top storylines going in?
Oh, I think without question, the number one storyline is the amount of really talented quarterbacks that all seem to depart blue blood programs in the same year. So whether it's Ohio State, whether it is Notre Dame, whether it's Clemson, whether it's Alabama, Texas A&M, University of Texas, it could go on and on and on about top level programs that now have to find another answer. And, you know, you're Ohio State, you have three guys in the mix, and now four, but you have three guys in the mix that have never actually attempted a pass in a college game before, so that's going to be fun to monitor. And then I also think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Pac-12, because there's so much pressure on that conference right now. There's so much pressure on the new commissioner, George Kliavkoff, and you've got that big matchup with Oregon and Ohio State early. You've got Clay Helton on the hot seat at SC. This drought for that conference can't continue to go down this path that it's gone, because their level of relevancy has just dwindled in the last 3 to 4 years.
So when you look at the ESPN 2021 College Football Top 25 Preseason Power Rankings, Top 10 Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, man, it sounds like we're just hitting repeat. And you throw in Texas A&M, Iowa State, which could be a national champion sleeper. I don't think they're really a sleeper at number 7. Oregon, Notre Dame, North Carolina, which we're not talking basketball, we're talking football. And Cincinnati, they're at number 11. On the outside of the top 10, is Alabama just loaded enough to march right through to another national title?
They could potentially be. It's interesting because that took place in that polling, as we all did, as college football broadcasters and analysts at ESPN. And I actually had Oklahoma number one, and not because of the offense. I think that's the thing that has stood out to me as I watched, and I actually was able to broadcast a couple of Oklahoma games last year, was just the dramatic improvement on defense. They finally have players in their defensive front that can compete with the big boys. They stopped giving up explosive plays. They're a team that creates turnovers now. So you add that to what is already a really spicy offense, and I think they're the team, actually, that many people look at as potentially being the number one overall ranked team. You know, for me with Alabama, anytime you're breaking in a new quarterback along with some new offensive linemen and some other talented pieces, a new offensive coordinator, I feel like we've seen this before, whether it was Lane Kiffin, whether it was Steve Sarkisian, the beat just keeps on going. And I think they've got enough at veteran spots. If they have a couple of hiccups early, it will be interesting to see how Miami approaches that opening game and what type of effort they put forth. But I think the one team in all of this, and I know expectations in off-season expectations have not been kind to them, but when you watched Georgia in the last half of the season when they were finally competent at quarterback, I thought they were a top-four team. I thought they were better than Notre Dame was at the end of the year, but it didn't matter because of the early season, you know, hiccups. But that's a team to me that if they can actually rise to the occasion and meet expectations, they might actually be the most talented roster of anybody in college football.
When you talked about Oklahoma at number one, I look at Spencer Rattler, and it's all about staying healthy, and I agree with everything about Alabama. You hope you splash with another Mac Jones or Jalen Hurts-type QB, but I do like Oklahoma going in, easier conference, and they'll have a high-profile quarterback who I think would be the Heisman front-runner right now, and then there's Clemson sitting there. Big Ten, it was interesting. Ohio State at 5 for our listeners across Michigan, and only three, including Penn State, other Big Ten teams in that top 25 with Penn State, Indiana, and Wisconsin. What do you think of the Big Ten going into 2021?
Well, I think people are sleeping a little bit on Iowa, in my opinion. I know everybody's excited about Indiana, but now it's Indiana's turn to have to deal with an offseason of expectations. They haven't had to do that yet, so I'm kind of reserving judgment on them to see if Tom Allen's crew can do it again. But I just think that Iowa should be talked about more. I think Wisconsin should be talked about more. I think you're going to see an improvement by Rutgers, not to, you know, compete in the East, but you're going to see a significant improvement. And I think if the quarterback play is steady for Penn State, they've got a really exciting roster. So top to bottom, I think it's going to be interesting in the conference. You know you're going to get great effort and results out of Northwestern. It's Maryland seems to be getting more explosive and faster in second-year head coach Mike Loxley. So I'll be interested to see if Ohio State's as talented as everybody thinks they are, but let's just say that they're not elite under center. Will that be good enough? Because they've been elite under center the last 3 years.
Tom Lugabill, ESPN College Football Insider, joining us on the Meyer Guest Line here on the Huge Show across Michigan. Yeah, the Big Ten still, you know, they don't get all that hype, but Ohio State at least has carried that flag enough, and we'll see what they do again. Can they follow Alabama? Alabama at 1, Ohio State at 5, breaking in a new QB. When you look at Jim Harbaugh in Michigan, Tom, what's the national perspective on the state of the University of Michigan football right now?
I think once they decided to restructure the contract and stick with Jim Harbaugh, they sent a message to their fan base that 9-3 right now is the ceiling, that it's okay. And I don't think that is okay. I think that they've been woefully disappointing in their evaluation of quarterbacks and the performance of the quarterback position. I think they would acknowledge that as well, that it hasn't gone as planned. But if you look at their roster, and, you know, we always talk about the gap, you know, the gap between Bam and everybody else, or Clemson and everybody else, or Ohio State and everybody else. Well, the gap right now between Michigan and Ohio State is pretty significant. And, you know, that can't continue. And if you're Michigan, and let's just say you're going to schedule a tough one in a non-conference, you've got Penn State, obviously, you've got Ohio State, and if you're not going to consistently beat those teams, then you're essentially telling your fan base that you're essentially a 9-3 program on a really good year instead of being a potential 11-1 program. So I was a little bit surprised by the move, but it is what it is. They're going to let them play it out. But this year's quarterback performance, whoever it is, whether it's JJ McCarthy, if they want to go with the freshman, or they want to continue down the road with the sophomore, then that guy better perform because time's running out.
Yeah, I agree with you. Outside of the job he did with Jake Rudock and Wilton Spate before he got hurt, Harbaugh was developing him. But to not have that two-year, at least two-year stud QB, to not have a modern offense after flipping out, whether it's Gattis, Drevno, and you have Harbaugh who played college quarterback and NFL QB, just the disarray on offense, the lack of in-game strategy, the lack of emotion from this team in big games, all that is concerning looking at Harbaugh, who up until that restructure was making upwards of $8 million a year. It just didn't fit the product.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that about the big games, because I think that's the most glaring thing here, is their performance against top 10 teams is abysmal. I mean, it's horrendous. And so for whatever reason, when a big game rolls around, that team has a really hard time handling that. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's coaching, if it's approach, if it's a player's mentality, if there's the locker room. But that team, for whatever reason, cannot step up to the plate when it's big. And until that changes, again, it goes to my sense that you're not going to win those big games that are going to get you to double-digit wins if that's how you play against the better teams on your schedule.
His name, Tom Lugabill, one of the best in the business when it comes to breaking down college football with ESPN, joining us on the Meyer Guest Line. I appreciate the time, and we'll talk again when the season hits.
You bet. Thanks, man.
All right, Lugabill. Yeah, the Harbaugh thing, the Michigan fan will take it personally. I think even Harbaugh, the way he alluded to it at Big Ten Days, like, you know, it's propaganda. No, it's not. It's the scoreboard doesn't lie. Okay, the scoreboard doesn't lie. That's it. The scoreboard does not lie. And he can flip it. He has this year, in my mind. He goes 8-4 and they're playing their asses off and it looks like it's big time football. The Michigan fan and the media here in Michigan and nationally will stand there and say, Harbaugh figured it out. He had the whole offseason. That's how important it is. And you'll find out after Western and Washington, like I said earlier.